Good morning, Columbus, Ohio, and my podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, and we've got a hot topic tonight. I'm going to skip the music. I'm going to go right into the meat and potatoes of what we're talking about today. And what we're talking about is Columbus, Ohio, Citygate Processing Plant must have lost their mind. For some reason, they think they can pull 75 jobs from somewhere, call them schedules, allow MHAs to bid on them, or select. They're real picky with the vernacular. And then allow these newly converted MHAs to hold these schedules, as they like to say. And I want to tell you right now, that's just some bullshit. But they want them to hold these schedules. And after 6 weeks, they're going to come back and reevaluate if these schedules should now be turned into bids. Come on, folks. They are attempting to handle mail handlers in Columbus, Ohio, like we have no brain. We are supposed to accept that nonsense, like, okay, because management said it, it got to be right. No, it is not even close to being right. But stand by, because we're going to talk about that. Now, I'm going to give you contract in a minute, but this is some things I need to voice before we get to that. Let me tell you what Columbus is trying to do. Do you realize with what they are proposing as far as 75 jobs being created and MHA selecting them on a 6-week trial? Do you understand that it is possible for an employee who has not been with the post office 9 months to end up with a 2 or 2 weekends off driving bid or assignment until 6 weeks later? Now, just in the very essence of that, I'm sorry, I fail to see where any union official could find out that there's merit in that. And it bothers me that apparently there are quite a few who feel that way. When you make a bold decision in order to accept 5,000 newly converted MHAs into the ranks and give them preferential treatment over your career mail handlers, I want to say this to you, and I'm going to say it as loud and as often as I can. There is something career going wrong here.
Mail and you, handlers.
You protect us. And let me tell you something. I understand that we have the new group of employees coming in, but you were founded off of regular career mail handlers.
Now I'm going to calm down, and then we'll talk about some facts and some sections out of our contract.
Okay, let's get started. The first item that I want to introduce to the podcast audience, there is a Excel spreadsheet with 75 positions listed on the sheet. Post office wants to call them schedules, but these are 75 bids. They can call them what they want, but if you go into your contract under Article 12.3D, as in Delta, it will read as follows. Information on notices inviting bids. Notices inviting bids shall include the duty assignment as defined in Section 12.2D3, if applicable, by position, title, and number, standard or individual position. It will have PS or MH salary level and craft, hours of duty, beginning, ending, the principal assignment area, section, and or location of activity, qualification standards and occupation code number, physical requirements, usually to the specific assignment, heavy lifting, invitations to employees to submit bids, the fixed schedule off days of work. Now that's item Article 12.3D. And what I just did was giving you the tenets of a bid. And it's so important that you understand that, because when you see this spreadsheet that is being circulated to all the MHAs that are going to be converted, most of the tenets of a bid are on this sheet. So I'm going to, throughout this podcast, try to convince the post office to call them bids like they really are and stop calling them schedules.
Now, I'm going to give you section 12.4. Again, I'm coming right out of our national agreement. Definition of a section. And I'm giving you that definition because section is one of the header rows on this Excel spreadsheet. The employer and the union shall define sections in accordance with the local implementation provisions of this agreement. Such definitions shall be confined to one or more of the following: pay location by floor, tour, job within an area, type of work by branch or stations, the entire installation, incoming, outgoing. And I wanted you to have 12.3D and 12.4 because the two sections combined will help the post office understand that this is a bid sheet that you're giving the MHAs, regardless of what you call it, is structured as a bid sheet. And it meets the qualifications of a bid sheet by our national agreement. The sheet I'm referring to, an Excel spreadsheet, and it lists 75 positions. The title of the sheet or the header is Columbus Mail Handler Preference Sheet MOU F1 Conversions. Please indicate your preference for this placement into the vacancies listed below in the order of preference, i.e. number one being your first choice, number two being your second choice, etc., with number 75 being your last choice. Preferences made must be signed by you and returned to Sherry Bentley. If preference sheet is not received on or before close of business February 10th, 2021 at 12 p.m., your preference will be deemed ineligible. Now, the first row, I'm going to read you all the headers off of the sheet that they want the MHAs to select from. There's a preference, office, all, everything is Columbus Pay and DC. Job title, everything has mail handler. Job ID, they renumber the IDs from 1 to 75. There is a begin tour, there's an end tour, and there's a time for lunch. It gives you non-scheduled days, a pay location, the tour, and the section. Now, and it has a block on the end for if license are going to be required. Now, I don't think it's a secret. So if you are a regular mail handler in Columbus, Ohio, PNDC, I would probably go to the tour office or ask my MDO for a copy of the 75 bids, I call them, schedules, postal management calls them, and take a look for yourself. Because see, sometimes you need to something has to be tangible. You got to see it. Look at it on that paper. Look at where it's possible for a brand new converted employee to end up with a tour two bid driving. And let me take a segue to all my brothers and sisters, the MHAs. Don't even begin to take this as anything against you. It's a contractual issue because regardless of where the bids are going to end up, you're going to become regular. So don't think because mail handlers are voicing what they feel is wrong, it's going to affect your becoming regular. It's not. What it's going to do is, it's in its sincerity, what it's really going to do, hopefully it's going to force the post office to do the right thing. Here's what I consider the right thing. And again, I said, this is what I consider. You take these 75 jobs and you post them for all mail handlers. When they come down, you post them again. After that second posting, now they become residual. Now, as your MHAs are converted into regulars, guess what? You now have 75 residual jobs. And just a quick moment on that pie in the sky that they're going to put you there for 6 weeks, come back and evaluate if they need the job or not. Do you know they still have city dispatch signs hanging on the back of the flat machine from Christmas? So I'm just simply telling you, the reaction time to anything in this building is nowhere near anything close to enough efficiency that they would even be able to do that. Okay, I'm going to move just a little. I'm going to move into our chem. Now, to make it simple, I'm going to be talking version 4, August 2017. If you go into your chem, into the Article 8 section, go to Article 8, page 3. Now, again, I'm talking in the chem, not the national agreement. When you get to Article 8, page 3, inside the chem, in the middle, it's going to be a question. And that question is, no, I'm not going to go there. But the question is, what is the schedule of an employee who is converted to full-time status or otherwise becomes an unassigned regular? Now, again, I am reading to you verbatim from your chem, Article 8, page 3. I say again, what is the schedule of an employee who is converted to full-time status or otherwise becomes an unassigned regular? And the answer is, if not assigned to a residual vacancy, an employee who is converted to full-time status or otherwise becomes an unassigned regular assumes as his or her regular work schedule the hours worked in the first week of the pay period in which the change to unassigned regular occurs. It gets better. This schedule can only be changed by the employee becoming a successful bidder under Article 12. The employee being assigned to a residual vacancy under Article 12, the employee making a voluntary request for a temporary change in schedule, or in keeping with terms of Chapter 4, Section 434.6 of the Employee Labor Relations Manual. That chapter deals with back pay, because maybe I shouldn't say it, but in the interest of trying to be fair, it is going to cost the post office oodles and noodles of money if they proceed on the course that they're proceeding on, that they're moving forward on right now. And let me tell you why. Because see, if you do it the right way, you post those 75 jobs once or twice, create the residual vacancy, then assign an employee to it, then you save yourself the hassle of allowing that employee to stay as a mirror bid until that employee decides to bid. Notice I said until they decide to bid, because it is very clear here that if that employee is not assigned to a residual vacancy, they work the schedule in which they work the first week of the pay period. And they keep that schedule. In 6 weeks, when you go back to visit, you're not moving anybody. The contract will not allow you to move those folks. So in 6 weeks, when you go back to visit, guess what? If you decide it's going to be a bid, well, now you got two people in that bid if that MHA, newly converted MHA, doesn't get the bid. And guess what? If the newly converted MHA is not senior enough to get the bid, they still stay where they are. You cannot move them. Again, contract states, this schedule can only be changed by the employee becoming a successful bidder under Article 12, or the employee being assigned to a residual vacancy under Article 12. Now, you got to remember, you don't have any residual vacancies at this time. So, depending on when you create an additional, a residual vacancy, that employee will mirror the successful bidder. And if you move him, you now will pay that employee out of schedule premium. You didn't think that through, Columbus, did you? One more time. If that newly converted MHA is not the successful bidder on the schedule. You don't even see me, but every time I say schedule, I'm throwing up air quotes. But if that newly converted MHA is not the successful bidder on that job, and until they are the successful bidder, or you create a residual bid, well, guess what? That person has a bid job mirroring the bid you just gave away. And if you move him, again, read your contract, you're going to pay that person. And I apologize when I say him. Him is always meant him slash her. But if you move him slash her, you're going to pay that person at a scheduled premium. And that could be a very nice price tag attached to that. And if you think I'm joking, you go to section 434.6 in the labor relations, it deals with back pay. You go to section 8.4B in our national agreement, it deals with overtime pay. Hey, listen, this is Kenny Hodge on the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. I think action is needed now. Again, I don't want to step out on a limb. I don't know where our union is actually, what their position is on this. I'm pretty sure it leans towards whatever it is that management is trying to do right now. But I want to say to the union, I hope you listen to what it is I'm saying. Research what it is that I'm saying, because I'm giving you what I believe. I'm giving you what I believe. Heads up, hey, let's get fired up, because management is attempting to take advantage of your craft members. And if they can't go to the union to stand up for them, where can they go? So I would be interested in knowing. I'm pretty sure I already know. I listened to, anyway, I'd be interested in knowing what the union's position is on this. Again, MHAs, nothing personal, strictly business. Nothing personal at all. In fact, if you look at it this way, as I begin to close, if you look at it this way, if the post office would do it the correct way, create the residual bids that they're going to put the unassigned regulars in, if they did it the correct way, you would only have to bid or be placed once until you decided to bid. Now, what's happening now is, if you get a bid, when they give you this bid, if they post it, again, if they post it, you got to hope you get it, or you got to move. Or you got to hope they decide they want to make that a bid, or you have to move. So don't look at this as anything other than if we do it right, we minimize the disruption to employees' lives. And on, I'm sorry, I keep saying I'm closing. On a final note, a PSA. Listen, if you or someone you know is a victim of fraud with respect to receiving 1099-Gs from the Department of Job Family Services for unemployment compensation that you know nothing about, listen, here's some contact information that you really want to take serious, because trust and believe, one of the last people you really want looking for you is the IRS. Here we go. There is a widespread problem for a lot of employees. We are having a lot of reports of the same issues. It is fraud and it is being investigated. The steps that need to be taken are below. Copies of the documents can be sent to Stephanie Keaton. I say again, Stephanie Keaton and Columbus Labor Relations. Her number is 614-469-4555. I say again, her number is 614-469-4555. Because they're holding the documentation in the event that it is needed from the U.S. Postal Service. Postal Service. But first, the employee must report the fraudulent activity to their employer. And that's where you can report directly to Stephanie Keaton. Again, if you're not familiar with who Stephanie Keaton is, report it to your MDO, your supervisor. But again, I just recommend you do that in writing. Then the employee must report the activity to Ohio Department of Job Family Services by completing the form in this link below. You want to also contact the Ohio Department of Job Family Services fraud hotline. Now, there's a link that I'm sure if you contact Stephanie or go straight to Ohio Department of Job Family Services to their webpage, there's a fraud, there's a tab for fraud alert. Or make your life easy, contact Stephanie because she's got this all figured out as far as submitting and gathering documentation. Okay, so I don't want you to think she's got the whole 1099G fraud figured out. She's got it figured out as far as you submit the information to her, as well as contact Ohio's Department of Job Family Services. And right now, that's about as much as we can do. Well, they can do, or we can do, because I received a 1099 also. Hey, listen, have an awesome day, and let's stay on top of that nonsense of trying to circumvent the whole bid process by coming up with some silly thing called schedules and not bids. Mail handlers, stay on top of what's going on in your work environment, because I'm sure there's a lot of mail handlers on tour one that would probably rather be on tour two.